Good morning, church. So every time I preach, and you guys pretty much know this, but I always make the you know, oh, here are the big guns kind of joke, that Pastor Chris needed to call in the big guns for a week, that sort of thing. And I always wonder if that joke gets a little old. And so I'm sorry for this, but I'm not really sorry at the same time. If it keeps making me laugh, I'm probably going to keep saying it. So with that being said, the big guns are here. Pastor Chris, there was a lot going on in the month of December. You guys know that. And I would have made the joke about calling him old, but he's not here right now to hear it, so it's not really the same for me. But I agreed to preach this week, and I'm excited that I get this opportunity to do that. So before we get into all of the fun stuff, let's pray really fast. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. God, I pray that these words would be from you and not from me, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So this Christmas season this year was kind of weird for me. I want to clarify, it wasn't bad. It was actually a really, really good Christmas. Through all the craziness in my life, you know, and everything that's going on, I know that I'm really blessed to have my wife, my family, and all of my friends around me. But it was a really weird Christmas season because this is the first year that I can remember, at least, where it became super real how not everybody has a good Christmas season, if that makes sense. Even though my Christmas was really good, it didn't really feel the same. It didn't almost feel right because my heart was breaking for the people who are hurting in this Christmas season, people who are now experiencing Christmas for the first time without a loved one, knowing that it'll never be the same. Maybe some people getting bad news about sickness or disease instead of being able to enjoy this season and all of the joy that comes with this season, they're more stressed and hurting than anything. And it's weird, and I'm saying it's weird because I've known this truth for my whole life. I've known that some people don't always have, you know, the best Christmas season because of different circumstances. I just didn't know why it felt so real now, if that makes sense. But this time of the year is a little weird to begin with, and I'll explain why that is. But our scripture today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So usually this time of the year, and this is why this is weird to me, right, is because this is the time of the year where the phrase, new year, new me, takes over the whole world. And everybody has their own New Year's resolutions and everything really along those lines. But I was genuinely curious about New Year's resolutions because at least in my personal experience, every time that I've made a New Year's resolution, it has not gone well for me. It goes till about maybe February if I'm lucky, depending on the resolution, of course, you know. But I was curious as to how long resolutions actually last. And so I tried to research some, but everything that I found gave me a lot of different answers. I found one article that said 1% of New Year's resolutions don't even make it through January, 8% doesn't make it after January, and then 22% don't make it after February, and another 22% don't make it after March. And then another one said that only 1 week into the new year, there are only 77% of New Year's resolutions left at that point, after 1 week. And then after 1 month, that number decreases to 55%. That's kind of wild to me. But I do, like I said, I see some truth in it, even though there was no solid answer, because most of the resolutions that I've had, and even some with my friends and people that I've heard about, they don't tend to make it either into February or past February. And I don't know why exactly that is. Maybe people are making their resolutions too big. That's where my mind has always been, at the very least. Like, for instance, if somebody doesn't go to the gym, and then their New Year's resolution is to go to the gym 5 days a week, every week, it doesn't really seem feasible. It's like you're going into it with the attitude of, I need to learn to run before I learn how to walk. Like, you got to ease your way into it. And maybe that's it. Maybe we just set these standards really high for ourselves, and I don't know. But this is what happens every year. We always decide that the beginning of the year is the best time for us to get a fresh start on things. And I'm guilty of that. And I already said guilty of failing New Year's resolutions. I know that. But I'm also guilty of this idea that, okay, I know something needs to change. I'm going to wait till the new year. I'm going to wait till the new year so feels like a clean slate, fresh start. New year, new me. But that way of thinking is a bit of a trap. Why are we waiting to change? Especially if the change is something to make us better, something for the better. We always wait. We wait for, in our minds, what the right moment is. We always want our heads to be in a better place, perhaps a better place in our lives. But this whole idea is a trap, like I said. But it's a common enough trap that the world does try to push it on us. And I say that in the sense of, there's a lot of things in the world that try to get us to procrastinate, a million things to try and get us to procrastinate. But at the same time, it's also not the world that's just pushing this trap. We as people tend to push this trap too, whether we realize it or not. If you've been to the gym before, you may have heard somebody say, well, that person shouldn't be in the gym, or that person isn't ready for the gym. And rather than being encouraging, just try to tear people down. You know, why is that person trying to insert positive change idea in this part of the sentence, you know, when they don't even have their life together? That's something that I've heard plenty of times. And once the world pushes it enough, you hear people saying it. And when people say it enough, you also start to believe it. For others, and unfortunately for ourselves. What I've realized, though, is our faith is often a victim of this exact trap, though. And I get it. I'm guilty of it, too. Even when I was in college, some of the people who were the same major as me, I had thought to myself, well, maybe they're not ready for this yet. Maybe later in their life, they'll be better at this. They just don't have their life together. They just aren't ready for this yet. And like I said, I started saying it, and I also started believing it about myself in certain areas. But rather than encouraging these other students, these other people, towards bettering themselves in their faith, I set them up to be in this trap for believing it's not the right time for them to expand their faith yet, to go deeper in their relationship with Christ. I mean, maybe later in life they'll be ready. Maybe at the new year they'll be ready. But let me tell you something. A relationship with Jesus requires change. And I'm going to say that again. A relationship with Jesus requires change. New Year's resolutions are optional. They're things that we decide we want to do better, things that we want to be better in our lives. But in a relationship with Jesus, change is not optional, and it never was. It's required if we actually want to experience everything that a relationship with Jesus has to offer. You can read about it in the Bibles. We hear stories. We read about all of the different people who have quite literally changed because of how transformational a relationship with Jesus is. And sometimes we even hear the people around us talking about how much their lives have changed too. But we want that change for ourselves. I know I do. And we want it so badly. But it doesn't always feel like it happens. In fact, sometimes it feels like it doesn't happen at all. And well, why? Well, I think the answer to that question is because of similar traps to the one that we just talked about, right? The I'm not ready trap. There's a lot of other I'm going to call them faulty trains of thought that we tend to fall into. Okay, so let's have a look at some of these faulty ideas, rather, about the life-changing relationship that we have with Jesus. We'll get into those a little bit. So the first one is that life change will just happen automatically at salvation. When we accept Jesus into our life, life change will just happen. And this is a pretty common one, but not only do people believe this, but they also kind of put people into this train of thought without even realizing it, right? So when we accept the gift of salvation, we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, people tend to ask, well, do you feel different? Instantly. Right after you say amen. So what feels different now? Well, and the common response is, no, I don't really feel different. Should I? And then that person could feel that they might have done something wrong because they don't feel different right away. Some people would also respond to that with, well, you will feel different, though. It will come with time. You will feel different. But then it puts that person who just accepted Christ in their life in this state of just waiting for change to come before they go out and do things, before they go out and live this Christian life. They just sit there and they wait for this change. There's some people who come to Christ and think that being a Christian, their habits, their attitudes, their character will all change the second that you say amen. Since our eternal destiny is changed at salvation, an immediate life change is also expected to happen, right? Well, no. Not really. So let me put that into perspective. If for whatever reason I was offered as a gift to me to go to the Olympics and be an 100-meter dash sprinter, if I, for once again, whatever reason, decided to accept this gift and say yes, I should also just assume then that my body, my eating habits, and my training regimen would also just change immediately. Right? And I could just go out there, win gold, easy peasy. No, it doesn't really work like that at all. The second, I'm going to say it once again, faulty thought, faulty trap that we tend to fall into, though, is that life change will just happen over time. Now, this one I will acknowledge sounds really good. It does sound good, right? But what I mean by this is if you know a person who has been a Christian for, say, 8 years, and you just became a Christian, you would sit there and you would say, well, that person obviously has 8 years more spiritual maturity than I do. And if they had their transformational moment about 4 years into their relationship with Jesus, well, then in 4 years, my transformational moment is going to happen. And all I have to do is wait. And I will gladly wait my turn for my time to come for this transformation with Jesus. Well, no, again. And if that were the case, I would be really confused. And I'm saying confused because I know some youth group kids who their lives have been transformed by their faith. And that would confuse me if this were true, because I've been a Christian for longer. That math just isn't mathing. It doesn't add up. And that's because that isn't what happens. That's a trap that we tend to fall into. And then the third trap that I want to talk about is that life change will just come if I try hard enough. Now, this one also sounds pretty good, and I can acknowledge that. Right? If I just act like a Christian hard enough, I found 7 different churches that have all different services on every day of the week. I go to church every single day. I give away everything that I have. I give away all of the money that I make. And because of this, my faith, my relationship with Jesus will grow, and my life will be transformed into everything that Jesus wants me to have. Well, and like I said, this one sounds good on paper, but it's not entirely realistic, because it isn't just about how hard we try to act like a Christian. because if salvation is something that none of us deserve, which is true, that's in the Bible, then why are we trying so hard to deserve it and to be transformed? And if we try this hard and life change doesn't come, well, what happens? Well, there's usually two things. One would be we would blame God because we're doing everything right in our eyes and we're still not being transformed. Or we would blame ourselves and try and convince ourselves that we just haven't done enough yet, which also isn't true. Because it's like we're trying to reach a bar that literally is not possible for us to reach alone. And these are just a couple of the traps that I've seen, I've heard, I've read about even. And some of you may feel like you're in one of those traps now. And that's okay. I have been. But the good news is there is a better formula, if you would. And I want to preface what I'm about to follow this up with by saying that life change can definitely feel a lot easier said than it is done. And I personally feel like that phrase within itself is a little bit of a trap. But that's for a different time altogether. But so for this better formula, Paul kind of hits this in the verse that we just read about. The Christian life isn't necessarily just a series of ups and downs, but it's more of a process of ins and outs. God works in us so we can work out of him. It's a partnership, a relationship. And that's exactly what verse 13 says. You know, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's a relationship, ins and outs, not so much up and downs. But, so the first part of this formula is that life change, it begins and ends, and everything in the middle, with God. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them. And when we give our life to Christ, yes, our eternal destiny is changed, and yes, there is a massive change in our priorities and our life purpose, and now we have the Holy Spirit in us, but rather than every bad habit or bad trait just changing instantly, it'll happen the more time that we spend with God. Just you time with our Lord and Savior. And trust me when I say that is real. The more time we spend with God, the more things change. And a lot of the times, we don't even realize that the change is happening. It just happens because we're spending more time with God. Another thing is God will use his word to bring life change. There's no Bible up here. I would have held one up. But the Bible is not just this handbook for what Christianity is. This book is alive, it's breathing, and it not only can change you, but it will change you. But we have to be intentional with it. We have to be intentional to read it. We have to be intentional while we read it. We have to live by it. We have to study it, apply it, and just watch as our priorities and our purpose changes. And the Holy Spirit also changes us. Conviction is a real thing. It really is. And a lot of my life, I have lived in a way of where I just kind of want to push conviction to the wayside, trying to ignore it, hopefully getting to the point where I don't really feel the conviction anymore. But we should feel it. If we want transformation, we shouldn't just feel it, though. We need to live by it and change accordingly. And I also do want to say, fair warning here, if you start living in that way of feeling your conviction and changing when you feel it, once that ball gets rolling, it's not as easy to ignore conviction anymore. Fair warning. The second part of this formula that I want to talk about, though, is that life change requires sacrifice. And this one really goes hand in hand with the first one. If our life change begins, ends, and everything in the middle with God, well, then I should probably sacrifice everything that is in the way of that. And I love movies, church. I really, really do love them. Anytime I want to relax, I know I can always just sit down, watch a movie, and relax. And I also love playing video games with my friends, with my brother. But if I try and sit there and tell myself that I'm getting rest from that, am I really? No, probably not. And now when I say sacrifice, it don't just mean, you know, give up everything in your life, never watch a movie again, never play video games again. No, I'm not trying to say anything like that. I am just saying that we need to get it out of the way of God transforming our life. If I'm tired and I need rest, I should go to the Lord. If I want to relax, I should probably go to the Lord. If I don't know what to do right now because my life is crazy and I need to just take my mind off of everything that is going on in the day-to-day, well, I should probably go to the Lord. And church, this is one of the coolest things about time with the Lord. When you feel that power, when you feel that love from the more time that you spend with God, you realize that nothing else in this world is going to give you the same feeling. If I want to relax and I go to the Lord and I feel relaxing in a way that I've never felt it before, well, I can be honest with you guys, I'm not going to want to go to a movie anymore to relax. I'm going to want to go back to the Lord because nothing else can give me what He gave me. And remember how I said priorities change? That's what I mean. You don't even realize it. I'm just looking for the Lord. And I still might watch movies when I have a free moment, you know. But I'm not using it anymore for my own personal relaxation or rest, as I called it before. I'm going to the Lord for all of those things. And my priorities just change naturally. And then the third and last thing, the last part of this formula that I want to talk about is life change comes with training. Now, I think it's interesting here how Paul, in verse 12, doesn't say to work for our salvation, like to earn it or deserve it. He says to work out your salvation. And the way that he is saying work out has a meaning of work it until its full completion, implying to do it, to perform, not just to deserve it, but to do the best that we can till it's done. And we use the phrase work out now, even when we go to the gym and we want our body to be in the best shape that we can, or even working a field, for instance. There's a lot of farmers around, a lot of farmland. For the farmers that go out and work a field, you're not just gonna go work in a field in a lackluster way just to get it done. No, you're gonna try your hardest to work this field to the best of your abilities to get the best harvest possible. And it isn't just about trying, like I was saying. It's about training. And once again, if I did go to the Olympics to be a sprinter, which is impossible, I'm going to throw that out there. It's not possible, trust me on that. But if it did, I would have to train my butt off to do anything even kind of okay there. And with working out our faith, we need to train. We don't just need to try it, we need to train for it. We need to have discipline with the activities and practices that were modeled for us in the Bible. And that isn't necessarily an easy task, but there's grace for us trying. There is. Prayer, worshiping, giving, serving, plenty of others that are all listed throughout the Bible, we do need to train for. In church, I'm not trying to say any of this to guilt you or to call anyone out. Like I said, I struggle with a lot of these. These are things that I'm also trying to learn the best that I can. I'm bringing this up because this is the reality to having a relationship with Jesus. It requires change. And it's not going to be change on God's end. If we want to truly experience the transformative relationship that comes with Christ, well, then we need to move all of our stuff out of the way to allow that to actually happen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. God, I pray that you would change our lives. Lord, not just a change on the outside, Lord, but a change in our hearts. I ask that everything that is in the way of you transforming us, God, that you would just move to the side and we could fully give our lives to you. Lord, in a way that we wouldn't want anything else in this world, God, just you. Lord, we pray all of this in your name. Amen. Church, God is the same back then as he is today and as he will be forever. Like I said, change isn't going to happen on his end. So let's stop waiting to change. Let this new year be the start of a new you. And not just from resolutions in areas that we want to improve on, but rather a full transformation because of our relationship with Jesus. Amen, church.